One man who knows the dangers only too well is Aman Jabi, who was at the forefront of digital development in Silicon Valley, California, for 25 years. He left when he recognized the dark side of surveillance technology, choosing instead the peace and beauty of Montana. He's an expert in facial recognition.
In the long term, the plan is to pretty much lock up humanity in smart cities, which is kind of a superset of a 15-minute city. They've sold all the state and local governments and countries that smart cities are about sustainability and the good of the city. But in reality, the language from the UN and WEF and their white papers is all inverted. So their monitoring is really about limiting mobility and no car ownership. Right? Surveillance controlled via LED grid is why the smart lighting is there. Water management is about water rationing. Noise pollution is about speech surveillance. Traffic monitoring is about limiting mobility. And then, of course, energy conservation is all about rationing heat, electricity, and gasoline. Another concept one should be familiar with is called geofencing. And that's, think of it as an invisible fence around you where you cannot go beyond a certain point. And that will be related to your face recognition, digital identity, and access control. Your smart contracts, SoftBrick can turn off your digital currency beyond a certain point from your house. It's a technique that is used to uniquely identify the biometrics of any face. So in a device like your smartphone and most modern smartphones in the last 5 or 7 years, they have a 3D camera module in the front of the phone, which you cannot see. Within that module is a near-infrared projector which projects tens of thousands of dots on your face. Those dots are then distorted based on the contours and the features of your face, and there's a near-infrared camera then takes a picture of that distortion, captures it, and then reverse engineers the exact profile of your face. In the longer term, facial recognition will be used to unlock your digital identity, which is going to be a tool of control for the agendas that are coming down the pipeline.
Elements of that control are already with us.
Alexa, good morning.
Good morning.
You are never alone in your home, and this is why. All your devices at home and all smart appliances, they are all connected on a wireless network. Many of these devices will have cameras, many will have microphones, and so they are monitoring everything all the time. Your smart appliances are communicating with the smart meter and sending it real-time usage data. If there's a Ring camera also in your home, a mesh network is formed and all your devices are being tracked within the home, its location, its usage, and all the data is going to Amazon servers. When you leave your home, all modern vehicles are connected to the internet, so your automobile is being tracked all the time. When you're going under a string of smart LED poles and smart LED lights on the highway and in the streets of your towns and cities, those form a wireless network and are tracking your vehicle. They are tracking all the devices on you, from smartphones to smartwatches when you're walking on the streets. So data is being collected 24/7 continuously on every human being whenever you are within these wireless networks.
And it's obviously not good for health also because of all the electromagnetic radiation.
That means you can be monitored, analyzed, managed, and monetized.
Surveillance capitalists are already making billions of dollars selling our information to big corporations, because this kind of detailed knowledge enables them to predict and influence our behavior. Worse, our children are being exploited.
There are a lot of board games and other games that are already in the market and have been for over 2 years that have cameras inside and underneath these LED screens that are observing and scoring and emotionally calibrating the faces of all the children. So are all the iPads that they use in schools. They're all manipulating children's behavior by what they display on the screens. And child data is big business. There's a concept called social impact investing, which people should read up on. If your kids are in schools, they are already being traded on Wall Street in real time. They can bet on groups of kids, whether they're going to be successful or not, whether they're going to become computer scientists or environmental engineers.
So children have become essentially a commodity and have been for years with this system. And once it's fully in place, it is going to be used to fully control the behavior of children as well as how they behave with respect to, you know, diversity, equity, inclusivity, etc.
The Chinese have already gone one step further.
Classrooms have robots that analyze students' health and engagement levels. Students wear uniforms with chips that track their locations. There are even surveillance cameras that monitor how often students check their phones or yawn during classes. These sensors pick up electrical signals sent by neurons in the brain. The neural data is then sent in real time to the teacher's computer.
We've been drawn into this digital spy network in the name of convenience, connectivity, safety, and especially entertainment.
Why is this technology being developed? It's all for the culmination of this digital prison from which there will be no escape.
The critical switch would be the introduction of those digital IDs and central bank financial control, a world of zero trust.
Zero trust is based on a simple principle. Never trust, always verify.
Zero trust is a protocol that is implemented by cybersecurity companies. And what it really means is we don't trust you and you have to prove who you are all the time, 24/7. In tomorrow's world, once zero trust is implemented in, say, retail, everything will be behind plexiglass doors with a 3D camera, and it'll only be unlocked through your digital identity and facial recognition if you have the available carbon credits in your digital currency.
If you've reached the limit of your allowance, it could be access denied. This would apply to fuel, to travel, to meat and dairy products, to clothes and other consumer goods. Because everything in life could be valued by its carbon footprint. Even access to the internet could be denied.
So the new world of zero trust is really a world of locks. It's like an inverted prison. You are supposedly free to roam about, but everything you want to access is behind lock and key.
Most advances in science, including AI, bring great advantages to the world. They can enhance and improve human endeavor in almost every walk of life. But you don't have to be a scientist to see the flip side.
They're constantly monitored by facial recognition cameras that are able to instantly put a face to a name. Now the Chinese are also ranked, given a mark out of a possible 950 points. For now, the number is a sort of bank credit rating, keeping track of everyone's spending habits.
It may seem scary, but it's just like that here. We're used to it, and anyway, we don't have a choice.
If you think this couldn't happen in the West, ask yourself why so many cameras, smart poles, and 5G networks are being installed in your neighborhood. In London, the police are using facial recognition surveillance. Sainsbury's is already experimenting with AI.
Thank you for waiting. The cabinet will now be opened.
In UK railway stations, surveillance is being tested to collect travellers' data. And in Oxford, these barriers were installed by the council under its so-called 15-minute city plan. They were removed following protests. But look at what's replacing them in these quiet residential streets. As the tech companies are proud to tell us, the possibilities are endless.
We've developed the camera into a sensor. The camera does not only capture video, it can now start to count, measure, and detect. With deep learning capability, the camera is able to generate accurate and trustworthy data and send notifications in order to take action, all directly from the camera. And since our cameras have open technology, well, we can work with different analytic partners from all over the world and together do just about anything we want.
Note that they can do just about anything they want.
Digital technologies mainly have an analytical power. Now we go into a predictive power. But since the next step could be to go into a prescriptive mode, which means you do not even have to have elections anymore, because we know what the result will be.
But who's really pulling the strings? Banking and oil dynasties like Rothschild and Rockefeller inevitably get mentioned, as do the modern-day big tech masters, including the ubiquitous Bill Gates. David Hughes takes a wider view.
It's those who own the means of production, who are capable of magicking money out of thin air, who control the media and all of the other means of production, which have now been weaponized against the rest of the global population.